ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I will write the title on the board in just a few minutes. I'd like to begin this morning in 1 Thessalonians in the fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll begin reading with verse 13. The apostle said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, those that have died. I would not have you ignorant, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, Paul was not telling the saints there at Thessalonica, don't cry, don't mourn when someone dies. But he said, we don't weep the same way as those that have no hope. We still weep. We still miss those. We still suffer loss. But he said, we don't weep the same way as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, now this is speaking about the coming back of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or those that are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those words should still be a comfort to us today. This scripture, this passage is often preached and taught in error when people teach that there is going to be a rapture of the just and the unjust shall remain living here on earth. When we study the scripture, we always again measure it to what Jesus taught. Jesus taught us that when the Son of Man would return, there would be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. The just would be resurrected to life eternal, and the unjust would have a resurrection to eternal damnation. So this passage of Scripture, keep in mind the context. Paul was writing to the saints. He was not giving general instruction or teaching on the issue of the resurrection. He was specifically speaking to save people, and he said, I want to comfort you with these words. Comfort one another, because when the Lord returns, there is going to be a resurrection of those that have died in the Lord. And they are going to rise out of the grave, and those of us that remain and are still living will be caught up together to forever be with the Lord. This passage of Scripture does not address the unjust. It does not address that what's going to happen to them. They also will be resurrected. But that was not the point of his teaching here. He was comforting them. When someone dies and they are saved, yes, we weep, but we don't weep as those that have no hope, because when the Lord comes back, they're going to be resurrected. And we also will be caught up together with them to be in the air. So these are words of comfort. When those among us die that love the Lord and have a clear testimony, we weep. We sorrow. But we also have a wonderful, bright hope of eternal life. We have a wonderful hope of another day that is coming, of a place that God has prepared for us and prepared for His people. And so we still comfort one another with those words today. But herein lies a question then. When the Lord comes back for me, will you all be able to comfort one another with these words? You see, this was spoken about those that are ready to meet God. He was not addressing the unsaved. And so the question is, do I find comfort in my soul, in my heart today, knowing that when the Lord comes back, we will be part of that resurrection with the just? Or will, if we're not ready to meet God, do you know these words don't bring a lot of comfort? If we know this morning that we are not ready to meet the Lord, we do not have that same comfort and consolation that we will meet up with our loved ones that are saved down the road. But when we are ready to meet God, this brings comfort. But what about when I die? What about when you die? And it's our time to have a funeral for us. Will people be able to stand and say, you know, we can comfort one another because the one that died was washed in the blood of Jesus and they were living for the Lord? Can that be said about us this morning? Can that be said of your life today? And it's not for me to measure or judge any of you, but it is for us to examine our own life and ask ourselves this question. Ask this question, are you ready? And that's the question I would like us to consider this morning by the help of the Lord. Are you ready? You know, there is a yes or no answer to that question. Sort of, kind of, maybe, I hope so, is not sufficient. When the Lord comes back, before the Lord comes back this morning, I want to have an experience with God that I can know that I am ready to meet the Lord. Not because of my goodness, not because of what I have sacrificed, not because of what I have done, but because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life, and that has been the defining experience of life, is that we love God more than anything else. So is it fair for us to examine our life this morning? Because these were words of comfort. But for us to be comforted, it means that we're going to need to be ready to meet God ourselves. And so I ask you today in the Spirit, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are we ready this morning without opportunity to pray one more time? Are we ready without opportunity to go and clear some things up with God? Are we ready to meet the Lord? Are we ready to meet God without one more time to say, if I knew that I was going to die tomorrow, I'd need to go to my wife and I need to clear some things up? Are we ready today? Are we ready with the relationships, people in the congregation, our family members, people we have worked with, people we have done business with? Are we living in such a way that they can know that this person is ready to meet God? Because I saw the fruit of their life. I saw how they loved God. I saw how they prioritized the things of the Lord more than the things of the earth. Are you ready this morning? You see, sometimes people might get uncomfortable with dealing with issues of preparedness. But the thing about it is, this is reality this morning for all of us. That all of us are going to stand before God. All of us are going to go and face eternity, and none of us know when. The Lord, we are on borrowed time this morning. The time is late. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But even if he does delay his coming for another 100 years, I don't know that he will. You look at the pattern of God's judgment, and we are way past the time how God has dealt with mankind in the past. And yet, even if he tarries his coming, do we have 100 years left? Do any of us have an assurance of 100 years? Even if the Lord doesn't come back, we are going to go out into eternity. And we don't know when. And so the question is, are we living ready to meet God this morning? This morning, would it come? Is it too close to just ask us? And I'm not going to put you all on the spot, but I will start with my wife. Renee, are you ready to meet God? Do you see how when it gets personal, then it's like, wait, that's getting a little bit too... Don't name names out. But what if the Lord is asking us this morning very personally, Michael, are you ready? Give me a little bit of time, Lord. I need to fix something. It's very likely that we here this morning are going to go out into eternity and face God in the type of condition that we are today. We do not have an assurance of tomorrow. But if there are things in our lives that we need to get cleared up, if there are people that we need to go and humble ourselves and say, I'm sorry. If we would want to say, Lord, let me come, I would not be too proud to go to the altar. You know that Sunday morning service when Brother Michael preached about, are you ready? I didn't want to go down to the altar and I wasn't ready. But Lord, if I knew you were coming today and this was my last opportunity, I wouldn't worry about what anybody thought. Even if I was saved and there were just some things I wanted to be sure of, it wouldn't matter what anybody thought. It wouldn't matter what half that did to my pride, because Lord, I'm fixing to go out into eternity. And I want to be sure that I'm ready to go. I want to, when the Lord comes back, I want the Lord to find me in prayer and in praise with hands upraised, with clean hands. With clean hands and a pure heart. I don't want the Lord to come back and find me doing something that I ought not to be doing. I don't want the Lord to come back and find me with an attitude that I shouldn't have. I don't want the Lord to come back and find me with unforgiveness in my heart because I wasn't willing to let some things go. God has forgiven us of so much. I don't want the Lord to come back and find me bitter because of what my wife did to me. I can't afford that because I'm going to stand before God. It doesn't really matter what my wife did and what my children did and what the congregation did. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of myself. There was grace for me to forgive. There was grace for me to love. There was grace for me to overcome temptation. But have I availed myself of it? That's the question. Are you ready? Or am I ready? Phrase it how you want this morning. The words of comfort to the saints were to those that were ready to meet God. There was a story, very familiar story that I'm sure that you all could tell by heart. But it's found over in the book of Luke in the 12th chapter in the 16th verse. There was a man that had accumulated a lot of goods in this life. Jesus spoke a parable saying, and this is the 12th chapter of Luke in the 16th verse. A parable he said unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is there anything wrong with having plans for the future? Anything wrong with having plans to tear down your barn and build a bigger one? I believe if there is anybody that should be industrious, it ought to be God's people. You got a plan to build a bigger barn, God bless you in building it. But there was a problem here. There was a problem. He said, God said unto him, thou fool, and I've shared this here before, I can still hear Brother Larry Abbott saying it in Fresno. When God calls someone a fool, they're a fool. Thou fool, he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, it wasn't wrong to have plans for the future. It wasn't wrong to plan for retirement, but the problem was he had not put God first in his life. He had spent his time and his energy and his efforts on physical things, on selfish things, and he had neglected his soul. So what about us this morning? Are we neglecting our soul? If we neglect our soul this morning, we are not ready to meet God. And if the Lord came this morning, and he's going to come, be assured. Out of respect to my brother Ronald Cole, I was walking out the other day and I thought, I wonder if Ronald got up this morning and thought, my wife is going to die today. You realize that's I'm still trying to cope with that one. So sudden. You know that's going to happen to us. That's going to happen to us. We may be on our sick bed for a while, but you know a lot of people aren't. And a lot of people that have rejected God, and we talked about those of you that weren't here Wednesday night, you should have been. Is that too strong? You missed something. Those that have put God off and then get on their sickbed very often do not come to a place of repentance because they pushed him off so long. It's going to come to all of us. We're going to have to deal with death, folks. Paul was encouraging that, oh, I'm thankful for the wonderful hope that we have for Brother Dan and Sister Lori. I'm so thankful. That's our comfort. That's our comfort. I rejoice with them this morning. That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working for. But it's what I'm going to have to live for today. Lord, I want to be ready. Because when the Lord comes back, there's not going to be any more time to pray. There's not going to be any more time to seek for reconciliation with people in your life. There's not going to be any more time to find victory over that temptation that you kept yielding to. There's not going to be any more time to get victory over that. This is our time. This is our time. This is our time this morning to get victory over our attitudes. This is the time to get victory over and find a place of healing in our hurts. This is the time to get victory over the things, the worldliness that we've allowed in our lives. That I know what God wants, but I'm not quite willing to give it up. I want to serve the Lord, but there's something I'm holding on to. Is anybody here holding on to something? Can you at least acknowledge you know what I'm talking about? Things the Lord's talked to you about, and you know God's will, and you're wanting to serve the Lord. It's not that you don't want to serve the Lord, but yet you have not quite come to the place to just totally say, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I give this to you. I don't want to meet God with my hand clenched around something that he's been calling for in my life. I don't want to be found that way. I want to be found in a place that I can say, Lord, thank you. I know you were merciful to me. I'm not throwing any stones this morning. There have been things in my life I had my fist clenched around. It took me some time to finally say, okay, Lord. What about your life? Are you ready? If this was our day, we need to live every day as if it were our last. Putting importance on our relationship with God in the things that are kind of hard in the flesh sometimes to give up. Brother Austin, my old pastor, used to teach, and I believe it, that more professing people of God, in other words, more professing saints, are going to lose their soul over unforgiveness than anything else. It might not be the drunkenness and adultery and fornication and all of those things, but God is interested in my heart this morning. He's interested in my attitudes. And that's why when we begin to recognize there's something at work, that does not mean that we're not ready. That's the mercy of the Lord showing us that, hey, there's something starting to grow in your life. And how many times have we had to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm feeling some resentments here. Lord, I want to be sure I've forgiven because I'm dealing with some things. Lord, would you help me that we can stand with a clear conscience before God? And as John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. I don't want to find myself in a place like this man when the Lord shakes his head and in love, he says, you're foolish. Is there anything in anybody's life here this morning that's really worth missing heaven over? Is there anything that's happened to you that's so bad? Or anything of the world that you're wanting so much that it's really worth missing heaven over? If there is, I'd like you to share it with me, but I haven't found it. Which means I need to let that affect my decision making. Lord, I want to put you first in my life. And I want to surrender my life to you. Lord, I want you to come and I want you to work a miracle in my life. Because it is true, as the scripture says, that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. And we're going to give an account of whom? Ourselves. Now, you know one of the things that the ministry is going to give an account of? We don't talk a lot about it. Do you realize I'm going to give an account for you all as well? In the sense that if I have failed to preach the truth to you, your blood is on my hands. That's pretty solemn stuff. If I decide to my desire for you to like me is more important than me preaching truth to you. When I stand before God, your blood is going to be on my hands. I don't want your blood on my hands. You are going to give an account of your life before God this morning. I am too. But when we stand for all general purposes, we're going to give an account of ourselves, of how we lived our life, of why we did, what we knew was correct. I do not believe there are going to be surprises when we stand before God. I just don't. The Holy Spirit is faithful to deal with us. I've had people come and their lives were in tangles. It was above my pay grade. And all I could tell them was, you get real close to God and the Holy Spirit will help you know what to do at the right time. I have confidence in the Holy Spirit that He'll do that. But that makes it very personal with all of us this morning. It's not about you trying to please me. It's not about you trying to have to do certain things to fit into this congregation. It is about you doing business with God in what the Word of God teaches. Not thinking that you're exempt. Well, the Lord showed me. No, if it's contrary to what the Bible teaches, it wasn't the Lord that showed you. That was your rationalization. You are rational. Well, the Lord showed me. The Lord didn't show you anything that's contrary to His Word. Folks, this is what we need to do business with this morning. And this is where our intentions do not usually materialize when we start talking about getting ready to meet God. And the reason is, and again, it goes back, those that were here Wednesday night, if not this morning, if there's anyone here that would say, I'm not sure if I'm ready, or maybe I'm not, if you're not willing to humble your heart this morning, then when? If not now, when? If not here, where? Where will there be a more opportune time? than when the Lord's asking us a question, are you ready? Because do you see that when the question is asked, are you ready, we think judgment. But I would that we turn that around and see this in a little different way this morning. If someone says, are you ready, that's not about judgment as much as it is about his love and his invitation. It's his mercy, because if you're not ready, he's asking the question because he wants you to be ready. If there's something in your life that maybe no one else knows, you see, I don't have to know your sin this morning. You know your sin this morning. You know what you've been doing behind closed doors. You know the attitudes that you've carried. You know the spirit that you have. You know the things that you've been looking at and the places you've been going. You know how you've been treating your family. You know those things. It's not about what everybody knows. It's about what you know. And the Lord in his mercy saying, are you ready? It's like, no, Lord, there's some things I'd like to fix. And the Lord saying, I love you enough to let you know I'm going to come back. And this morning's the time. This morning is the time. Because when is it going to be any different? In the book of Amos, in the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, if you read above this, it was talking about some of the judgments that God sent on the people of Israel. I sent a famine, didn't draw you to me. I sent war, it didn't draw you to me. And now I just want you to know, you need to get ready to meet me. Now, Clark didn't feel like this was actually speaking about the end judgment. Others postulate and believe that it does. But the call itself is true. Prepare to meet thy God. In other words, get ready. Preparation. You see, preparation takes time. It does take opportunity. If I told you today, said, you know, Renee and I, we would really like to come to your house. Can we just go home with you? Immediately after service, would anybody be a little uncomfortable? If so, why? Well, can you wait at the door and give me 2 minutes? I'm going to go pick some things up before you come in. Kind of just straighten things up. You see, that's the love of God to us. And he's saying, I'll be there in an hour. Whew, thankful I have an hour. When he says prepare, it was invitation. I am going to come, but you need to get ready for my coming, because I'm coming. You need to seek me. There, you know, mountains in our lives that seem so big to us, when we start thinking about eternity and death, they get so small. The things that seem so important to us in life sometimes, if we would just look at the things that maybe seem so big to us in our life, put that in light of eternity, and we start saying, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. I'll let it go. Lord, I'll change. Lord, I'll clear this up. Lord, help me to humble myself and get rid of my pride, because in light of eternity, it's not worth it. Prepare to meet thy God. The hurts in relationships, the pleasures that we don't want to let go, the priorities, the pursuits that hinder our relationship with God. Prepare. In your home life, in your personal life, in your business life, prepare to meet God, because he's coming. I'd like to conclude with a reading over in the book of Isaiah, in the 38th chapter. Isaiah chapter 38, in the verse 1, speaking about Hezekiah. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And as we know the story, Hezekiah prayed and God gave him an additional 15 years. But there was a truth that was brought out from the prophet to Hezekiah. He said, set your house in order because you're going to die. That is something that each and every one of us are going to face, is an end to this life. And so I ask you this morning, in love, is your house in order? Are you ready? If the Lord were to come, and I'm not, please understand, I'm not interested in scare tactics. But at the same time, this is reality. This is reality. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I think all my family surprised I've lived this long. I almost didn't make it a couple times. Brother Peter said to everybody in Kenya, he said, I have almost seen Brother Michael die 5 times. Well, I don't think it was 5. But one of these days, it is going to happen. And there is no disgrace to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be sure. And there's been some areas I've been struggling with that I just want to be sure are clear with you. So I say that to those of you that are saved this morning. There is absolutely no disgrace. You know why? Because we're putting God first and setting our house in order. When I was in Tanzania, the Lord gave me a vision and some understanding of some scripture in a more clear way than I've ever had before. And when he did, I did some praying myself. Because I want to be sure I'm ready. And the Lord wants you to be sure you're ready this morning too. So for those of you that are saved and are washed in the blood of Jesus, if there's anything the Lord has been talking to you about, this is a really good time to come and say, Lord, I want to be sure everything's clear. And there's some places I want to be sure I've got the victory. Maybe some things I need to lay down. Maybe some things I need to pick up the Lord's been talking to me about. But when the Lord comes back, I want him to find me free from sin. I want him to find me with clean hands. I want him to find me doing his work. Are you ready this morning? And if you are not saved this morning, if, as you examine your life, if this message has made you really uncomfortable, I'm actually thankful for that. Because that means the Lord has been faithful to us. When the Lord makes us uncomfortable with conviction, it's not to make us feel bad. It's to draw us to a place that we no longer need to live under condemnation. There's a place this morning that each one of us can leave here today without condemnation, because it can be covered under the blood of Jesus. So if you are not ready this morning, this is your day. If you are not saved, if you are not ready to meet Jesus Christ and to stand before the throne, the Lord will work. You say, I don't know what to do. I can't. None of us can overcome the power of sin and wrong, internal and external, without the power of Jesus Christ. I can't do it myself. And that's the good news of the gospel, is God will do something divine for you this morning that you can leave here saying, by the blood of Jesus, I'm ready to meet God. So the invitation is to all of us today. I want you to know this altar's open. There's no judgment. Don't judge anyone. This is a place for us to come and spend time with God. And if you feel a need to talk to the Lord, to be sure that you can say, Lord, I'm ready, and I want to be sure all is cleared, this is our time this morning. Can we stand and sing a song? And if the Lord has talked to your heart, I want you to know that this altar's open, and I would encourage you to take advantage of this time while the Lord is speaking. Amen.